Hello, it's the Red Visor here, making a trip into Europe while I still can. Anyway, I'm in Frankfurt, which is the financial heart of Germany, and you are about to watch from the entertainment heart of Las Vegas, the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. Enjoy.
Thank you.
Hey, on today's Living in Las Vegas, well, I just got back from vacation at Cabo San Lucas. Oh, come with me, won't you? I gotta tell you, I'm feeling pretty international. So on this episode of Living in Las Vegas, we're going to talk about dining around the world while still being in Las Vegas. Would you like something Mexican? Or maybe something from the Far East? It does not matter. That which you desire, you shall have. Plus, we've got real quick stories, live chat questions, listener email, and of course, have a drink on me. This is a Living in Las Vegas podcast. Let's get started.
That's not what I wanted. I want this one. Living in Las Vegas starts now.
I've got to stop drinking.
What's that button do? Good thing you don't have to be smart.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome from Las Vegas, Nevada. That groovy little podcast that gives you a true first-person look into what it's like to call Sin City your home. The Living in Las Vegas podcast.
That's it, baby. Wow. Quiet, Coda.
And now your host, a man who clearly needs some kind of introduction, otherwise you wouldn't know who he was.
Singer brother Scott.
Mr. Scott Whitney. Welcome, everybody, to the Living in Las Vegas podcast here on the Vegas Video Network. I assume that's a welcome back applause. Thank you very much. Hey, by the way, speaking, it's not about me. It's about you. Let me congratulate you because you are either listening to or watching the longest running podcast about Las Vegas that actually originates from Las Vegas, which means not only going to talk about what it's like to live here in Vegas, but we're going to talk about some adventures on the Strip, Fremont Street, downtown, other cool places here in the Valley. And by the way, if you're a fan of our city, you're a tourist, you dig all that Las Vegas-y stuff, well, guess what? Our show is like your own secret handshake to all things cool and groovy. Hey, we're live every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Again, that's VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Here's the deal. Be a part of the show. It's great stuff. We got folks in the live chat. The live chat becomes part of the show. These people become famous. Their income goes up. People show up an hour before the show even starts in the live chat. Why? Because they love each other. They have seen each other naked, and they find each other surprisingly attractive. So I would invite you to A, take off your clothes, B, get something to drink, and get yourself here at 7 o'clock p.m. Pacific time at VegasVideoNetwork.com/live. Hey, I'm your host, Scott Whitney. Konnichiwa, buenas noches. How you doing, hot stuff? I am the owner of the Vegas Video Network, so if you like it, thank you so much. If you don't like it, blame it on your parents and poor upbringing. Today's, I'm getting calls now. I did not bring up my kid. He got an award for everything he did. There's nothing wrong with that. Yeah, there is actually, but good job. Okay, over and under. I was right on last week or 2 weeks ago. I'm going a 69 and a hook. He said 69. New in the live chat, Nosy Rosie of Las Vegas. We have spoken about her several times here in the show the last several weeks, and she has decided to actually be in the live chat. That was part of the application process. Congratulations, Rosie. Rosie comes from Philadelphia.
Before she moved to Las Vegas, she's in Las Vegas now, naturally. She's been watching the Living in Las Vegas show since Melissa was a host. So we're going to call it 7 years ago. And she's the gal, if you might remember, who said she moved to Las Vegas strictly because of our show. No other reason. We gave her the guts. She put on a cape, big R on the back. Foink. She decides to move to Las Vegas. That's right. It's all about us. By the way, I also want to say thanks again to my globe-trotting friend, Stuart, for the opening video. And if you don't send in a video, guys, Stuart has got several more. So this may be, in fact, the Stuart Pointer Show. All right, so I just got back from the Cabo. So I think the idea, the concept of this episode makes perfectly good sense. Now, you might think to yourself, well, he got back from Cabo, and he's like, I'm going to do places to eat around the world. Nope. I have to open my kimono, if you will, which is an international term. I want to thank Rosie for actually doing a lot of the legwork here. We're going to talk about a large number of different kinds of restaurants. But at the end, I've got a shocking bit of truth that we will share with you. And I want the live chat. This is another example of the live chat playing along. We're going to go through different categories of restaurants, like, for example, Asian fusion or British. And as we go through a couple of the names that that Rosie found that she thought was good, excuse me, I want the live chat to get in there as well. So if you guys have experience with the types of restaurants we're talking about, get in there and let me know what works for you. And by the way, there is no such thing as Canadian food to Chet. So, sorry. I guess bacon. So I guess bacon will play. All right, so we're going to start with British food. British food. Now, arguably, British food is horrible. So maybe we should skip this, but we're going to do it because it's the first category that Rosie did, and God bless her, we're going to go that route. So it's down in downtown Las Vegas. She recommends a place called The Smashed Pig, which was a girl I used to date. That's off Fremont Street. Gee, can't imagine why he got divorced the first time. So The Smashed Pig at downtown Las Vegas. On the Strip, when we're talking British, we're looking at Gordon Ramsay's Pub and Grill. That's the Caesar's Palace. Now, I've been there. That's a pretty cool place. It's right across from the Coliseum, so you can grab there some British food and drink a little bit of beer at a pub. And then, whoop, go over and look at Celine Dion and cry because her banter is arguably the worst banter you'll ever hear in any professional strip show. Okay, let's move on. Elsewhere. There's other places besides downtown. There's other places besides the Strip. How about Crown and Anchor, the British pub? There's a couple locations. There's one on East Tropicana, one on Spring Mountain. I've been in there. This is more of your traditional British pub. You know, it's got the Union Jack. It's got people missing teeth. My best friend is British, and he is not going to like any of that. Neil, I want to apologize. It's all about jokes. And if I look at the live chat, Crown and Anchor, it's a big hit there as well. So Gordon Ramsay in the live chat. So I think so far we're on the right track here. Next up, Asian Fusion. Asian Fusion, downtown Las Vegas, Itsy Bitsy Ramen and Whiskey, which rhymes, by the way. Now, I have not been to this particular property, but it has gotten quite a bit of press. All of it that I've seen has been positive, so I think that's a play. Also at Wynn on the Strip is Wazuzu, which is one of the pets for one of the Flintstones. It's a little baby dinosaur, Wazuzu. True or false? You guys decide whether that's true or not. Let's move on. Let's do Japanese. My favorite kind of Japanese food, which makes me a tourist and a white guy, is the teppanyaki stuff. You know where they cut it and they fly it all around, all that kind of stuff? So over at Aria, Tetsu does that kind of stuff. Now, what's the one over at, I just forgot it, just forgot the name. The name of the one that's at, it used to be LVH. Oh my God, what's that one called? Ted? Theodore? Benihana's. Thank you. I actually happen to be a fan of Benihana's. I'm sure I'll get a little bit of shit for that. But so where else? Nobu over at Caesars. Now, this is arguably one of the best Japanese restaurants. Jackie has eaten there a few times. I've never had the privilege, quite frankly. But the other Japanese restaurant that I like a lot on this trip is called Tao, which is at Venetian. It was when it first opened, it was Melissa and my go-to restaurant for a very long time on this trip. That's Tao, T-A-O. It's also a nightclub. So, you know, get in there before the beautiful people show up. But great drinks, by the way, real good drinks, good location. You can sit outside right on the strip if you want. Great food there. All right, let's move to Thai. So the first one, this one I didn't really know much about. This is, again, Rosie brought this up. See the Thai Experience. Now, this is actually at Bally's in Paris. They also do Vietnamese as well. I did a quick search on this, and it's actually gotten some pretty good reviews as well. My favorite Thai restaurant, I get a little confused, I think, between Thai and, say, Chinese sometimes, which obviously I shouldn't, but, you know, again, hey, you white much? Oh, a little bit. My favorite is Lemongrass, which is at Aria. That is, and it's probably one of my favorite restaurants in Aria. Yeah, I think so. Great service, really good food. You can't go wrong with Thai at Lemongrass. And the other thing is, the next two I'm going to tell you about are really well known. The first one is La Thai, which is on Fremont Street. It's at 523 Fremont Street. This is in the Fremont East area, so not on the Fremont Street Experience. The only Thai you'll see there is a naked guy wearing a tie. But down on the east side, you'll find La Thai. The good thing about La Thai is the food. Good thing about La Thai is the pricing. The bad thing about La Thai is it can be busy and hard to get seating. Although they do have seating in the back, it can be packed all the time. The other Thai restaurant, which is on East Sahara, right next to the Green Door. Okay, so you can get yourself a little Thai and then, you know, get tied up, I guess, is Lotus of Siam. This is the place that everybody talks about. The first few times I went there, I was pretty underwhelmed by it, quite frankly. I think part of it may have been, I think I went during, you know, a lunch time, and just it was pretty crappy. The last time I was there, it was pretty good. Lotus of Siam is known for a very, very large wine cellar. So if you like your wine with your Thai, then Lotus of Siam is a play. Chinese. Now, I got made fun of because I like P.F. Chang's, so I won't mention P.F. Chang's other than I really like P.F. Chang's. There's one at Planet Hollywood. There's several throughout the rest of Las Vegas. But another really good restaurant at Aria is Blossom. So Aria actually has another restaurant we'll talk about in a moment that is killing it when it comes to just different kind of ethnic restaurants. Aria's got it figured out. It's one of my favorite properties in general as well. But man, I'll tell you what, Blossom, well, that was the place that we met. We surprised Melissa when the Mitchells came in town. So Blossom is a great place. And I would go there again just because it's not the kind of place that most people know. I would argue that most casinos don't really play the ethnic card when it comes to talking about their restaurants. So it's easy to not know that these different kinds of restaurants are laying out. So Blossom is good. All right, let's go Mexican. Ping Pang Pong. That's a good one. Ping Pang Pong, this is from Derek, 1968, in the live chat. That is next to the Orleans, as I recall. I've heard tons of good things about Ping Pang Pong, but we have not been there. Ken in the live chat, Ping Pang Pong, very good name. It's a very, very good name. Great food, so I've been told. Haven't been there, but I bet you I've been told a half a dozen times that it's a great place and we should go there. Okay, let's go Mexican. Is it Gold Coast? Oh, I thought it was... Is it Gold Coast? Oh, yeah, okay, Gold Coast. Actually, Neon Vacation, we'll be getting that in a second. All right, now let's go to Mexican. First, on the strip, Husong's Cantina over at the Luxor. Now, I've not eaten at this particular Husong's, but Rosie suggests that you get the Blackberry Ginger Margarita. That, of course, is if you're a woman. If you've got testicles, you can't order that. Sorry. But if you do have testicles, if you don't have testicles, then you can have the blackberry ginger margarita. Elsewhere on the strip, El Segundo Sol, certainly one of my favorite. This is that fashion show on the ground floor, open seating, so you can watch the unwashed masses walk by you as you're looking at the wind and you're looking at the people and you're drinking lots of margaritas and cervezas and good food, by the way, of course. Strip. Where else? Aria wins again. Javier's. Javier's, besides having probably the best tacos, which, by the way, is the measurement for a great Mexican restaurant. That's it. Whenever I go to any restaurant, any Mexican restaurant, I always order what is typically the taco combo. Give me a couple tacos, give me your beans and your rice, and I will decide if you know what you're doing. Javier's knows what they're doing. Their tacos are fantastico. And I had my very first jalapeno margarita there, which was muy bueno. And so if you like the margarita and you like the taco, then absolutely Javier's, again at Aria's, pretty hard to beat. Okay, you're tired of the strip, you want to go downtown, nothing wrong with that. La Comida, which is on 6th Street, so it's a little bit off the beaten path, it's not on Fremont Street. You go right around Commonwealth, so Commonwealth is on the corner of Fremont and 6th Street. You go to right around Commonwealth, and there is La Comida right there. It's a very, very good restaurant. Pretty authentic looking too. We've eaten there probably a half a dozen times. If we're going out with friends and we want Mexican, and especially if we're going downtown, La Comida is where we go. Elsewhere, you're going to see a lot of Lindo. I can't pronounce this right. Lindo Michoacan. There's several of those in Las Vegas. I like those quite a bit as well. Oh, and of course, we got Neon Vacation. I've got voting for Taco El Gordo. So there's a couple of those on this. There's one on the strip. There's two on the strip now. This is not a really great sit-down restaurant, the Taco El Gordo, but it's a good, quick get in, get your three tacos, you know, that are about this big as well. Pops says alcohol at Taco Bell in Vegas. Yeah, I just read about that. I'm not sure I know all the details. But hey, cerveza with the Taco Bell taco, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I think it's a good idea, as a matter of fact. All right, let's keep going. Let's go Brazilian. It's not just for waxing anymore, it's for food, and it's at Mirage Samba, which is, I think we've eaten there as well. It's pretty cool. Okay, that's enough of the Brazilian wax, can't do any more of that. Let's go German, Achtung, baby. Where? Best German restaurant? I only know of one, and I have been there many times. I have not been spanked there. I have been with people who have been, oh yeah, Fogo del Cho. That's also very good for the Brazilian. Very good, Jimmy, in the live chat. German, you think beer, you think big blonde women with paddles, Oompa bands, and that big long Ricola horn. You got to go Hofbräuhaus. Hofbräuhaus is... the truth is, German food, it's not great. Sauerkraut, what were they thinking with sauerkraut? The big weenie things, I guess if you like a big weenie thing, that's the thing to get. But really the fun about the Hofbräuhaus is the big beer and the Oompa band and that big Ricola thing is pretty cool. And watching drunk young men typically get spanked. Hard to beat that kind of fun. All right, let's keep going. When you think Whitney, you think Irish. Well, actually, you'd probably think English, but I'm Irish as well. So let's go Ireland. These are my people, Irish people. All right, let's start off with the strip. Rira, which is the most un-Irish looking name. First time I thought, I had no idea. I thought it was like a Mexican sun god, Ra. So where's Rira? Rira's at Mandalay Bay. And this is kind of a cool story. You know, part of their pitch is that the bar itself was reconstructed and reassembled using imported material from a real 1980s Irish pub. More importantly, the food there is pretty good as well. So it's authentic. Everybody there kind of has an Irish accent. Now that it becomes more prominent as you drink. And you know, the whole vibe of the bar is pretty cool. And it's a nice fit with the whole Mandalay Bay thing. Elsewhere on the strip, how about New York, New York? Nine Fine Irishmen. We've done that as a Haddam before. Another good, I just recently did a Haddam there, I think. And then elsewhere, off, out of the strip, one of the, our favorite Irish pubs is by the Orleans. It's called McMullen's Irish Pub. I think this was the place, I lead a somewhat sheltered life, but this was the first place in Vegas where I saw where they had the taps on the, your own individual tap on the table. So you didn't have to go running back to the bar or waiting for the waitress. You could just tap yourself. That's when I realized there was a God and he was Irish. He did not make Coors Light. Jesus Christ, what are we doing? All right. Oh, Ra is the Egyptian god. Yes, yes. Oh, Glenn has a good point about McMullen's, is they have great live music. That's probably one of their biggest draws, as a matter of fact. I have an old video of the Whitneys and the Ivies and some other people singing. It's got to be... Jesus, I think it was before the network. It's probably 8 years old or so. And we are just blasted, holding hands, going back and forth. Yeah, it's super charming. It's a damn shame you guys won't get to watch that. Okay, all right. Let's go French. La France. Strip. Let's go to Bellagio. And we're going to go to Le Cirque. Le Cirque. How do you say muy bueno in France? French. It's very, very good. It's not cheap. Le Cirque is not cheap, but it is it's an outstanding job by the service is outstanding along with the food. You know, one of the things about French food is it tends to be, or French restaurants tend to be a little intimidating for a lot of folks. I know I never had any intention to go into a French restaurant until we had a show called Top of the Food Chain. And I forget the gentleman's name who was the guest, but he came on. He used to be like the main food guide for Caesar's Properties. And he kind of talked about the attitude of French food and French restaurants. And it was really very open and embracing and educational. It was really cool. So as a result of that, I went to the second place on my list, which is Eiffel Tower at Paris. That was the very first French restaurant I think I've ever been to. The view, of course, is fantastic. You know, you go up there and you walk in and you think you might be intimidated. It's the opposite. They're super friendly, beautiful seating, of course. And again, part of what you're going to measure at a restaurant at that level is the service. Are these people nice? So this is one of those restaurants where, you know, they have, you know, one or they have two or more people work, you know, waiting on you. But again, you look at the food. Is it too rich? Because I've always been a little worried about that as well. No. Good food. Tastes good. Great stuff. Wine, of course. They've got plenty of wine. You can't beat Eiffel Tower. Now, a couple places, or this next place I have heard about, haven't been there. It's called Alize, A-L-I-Z-E. It's over on at Palms on the 56th floor. I talked to the guy who owned it for a while. He was thinking about doing a show on the network. This was back in 2010. The problem, he had 15,000 people around him who were making decisions and who didn't know shit about podcasting at the time. So they were like, I don't know, what do maybe we don't do that. So it never happened, but I've heard good things about that. Ah, in the live chat, Mon Ami Gabi is great. Completely agree with that. Not on our list. Mon Ami Gabi is in Paris. Fascinating. Another great street location right across from the Bellagio fountains. Good service, good food. Good call on that one, Glenn. And then the last one, my guess is most people who listen or watch the show don't know of it. It's called Marche Bacchus. It's a really, it's actually the full name is Marche Bacchus French Bistro and Wine Shop. This is it's actually in the Desert Shores community, which is kind of around Summerlin. Not really, it's a little northern, southerly kind of stuff. It's by Lake Jacqueline, it's called. So it's out in the boondocks if you're a tourist. But you should go check this out if you're trying to get out, right? If you're here for 3.5 days, don't go. There's no play there. But if you're here for a week or two
and you want to see what it's like for the locals where they go, Marche Bacchus is really, really good. They got live music there a lot. They've got an entire wine shop. So when you first walk in, you walk through the wine shop. And as I recall, you can pick out your wine and bring it to your table if you want to do that as well. So it's a really, it's kind of a locals thing primarily, but it's outstanding. So I highly recommend it. All right, let's go to Italy, shall we? Now, for downtown Vegas, Rosie added Chicago Joe's over on 4th Street. She wrote, not the best meal, but love the atmosphere. Tight and cozy repurposed home. I've never heard of this place, so I don't know if Chicago Joe is, you know, Chicago Bent Nose Joe, and, you know, maybe it's a front for the mob. The mob doesn't exist anymore. That's a joke. So I don't know anything about it. But go, tell us what you think. Now, also for downtown Las Vegas under Italian, Rosie included Pizza Rock. Now, okay. So I guess you would do that. It is Italian. Pizza Rock is a good pizza place. I just don't feel that's super Italian-y enough. But I will tell you what I do like. I like Maggiano's, which is that fashion show. It is it's a restaurant that's in a bunch of different places. I really, really like it, though. Casa de Amore in the live chat comes up. Also came up in our deal over on East Tropicana. Really nice place. I happen to really like the Bootlegger. Glenn in the live chat brought that up. Bootlegger's way down south on the strip, or actually below the strip on Las Vegas Boulevard. That's the place where Kelly Clinton, we've talked about, does her open mic show every Monday. If you want great food and some really great music, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's amazing, go down to Bootlegger on Monday night, 9 o'clock, and you'll be okay. Scarpetta over at Cosmopolitan got a vote. And then we've talked about this before over on West Sahara, Capo's. There used to be two Capo's here. There is one now. That's the place that is a mob-themed Italian restaurant. It's my favorite place to go to eat at a bar. It's one of those places. Well, it's not one of those places. It's the place where you walk into a little room when you first walk into the property. And it's all, you know, kind of dark. And you knock on a door, and a little door opens up, and somebody goes, yeah, what do you want? And that's kind of how it starts. Reservation for Whitney. Yeah, hold on, let me check. And then they let you in. Or what we'll normally do is like, yeah, no reservation, brother. Just want to eat at the bar. All right, come on in. Come on in, have a good time. That kind of deal. So Capo's is for all the Italian restaurants, I really like Capo's a lot. By the way, if you're a local, eat at the bar on a Monday, 50% off everything. Everything is 50% off. You cannot beat that. So highly recommended. And then under the multicultural and creative fusion, we've got on the strip Tom's Urban. This is a New York based place that has street food of the world, which sounds riskier than it probably is. Brought up in the live chat, China Poblano over at the Cosmo. Chinese meets Mexican. That sounds insane. Until you actually put it together. As a matter of fact, we've eaten there. When the Perrys, Alan and Aaron, were in town just recently, and as you recall, we talked about having dinner with them up in their room, they basically ordered takeout from China Poblano, and they brought the food up into their in the room, and we were up there having a couple of drinks and eating. It was great. Also on the strip, Sushi Samba over at the Venetian Palazzo. It's Japanese meets Peruvian and Brazilian food. So that's what we got so far. Now, here's the little secret I was going to tell you. So when Rosie put all this together, Rosie clearly has a research gene, a very large research gene. So I don't know how many we just did there. Let's call it 20 or 30 or so. She goes, you know, I started getting into this so much that I decided to make a spreadsheet about this. And she linked the spreadsheet to me, and I took a look at it and was going to look at it today, had a couple of problems, looked it up again, and guess what? 300 restaurants are on this spreadsheet. So we're going to try to figure out a way that we can make that available to all you guys. So if you're looking for a restaurant, instead of screwing around
searching elsewhere. I've got a spreadsheet that's got, I think, 300 restaurants on it, and in a whole bunch of different categories. So thanks to Rosie for doing that. She is awesome, and she makes me proud to be. She's our intern right now, and God bless her little heart. She's kicking ass, and I've got big plans for Rosie, as long as I stay out of jail. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and be right back. This is the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network. This episode of Living in Las Vegas is brought to you by the Vegas Video Co-op. Because your online presence is often your only chance to begin a meaningful sales conversation, please take a moment and visit VegasVideoCoop.com. Highlight your business, start a talk show, or unleash your genius for a low monthly fee. Use promo code LILV for a special discount to our viewers and listeners. That's VegasVideoCoop.com. Yeah! Axl Rose is a pussy. All right. Yeah, he probably doesn't do that after a whole lot of Rosie. How does he do that? Okay, listener email. Good Lord, man. Part of the show. Where you send an email to onairq right there at livinginlv.com. Again, onairq at livinginlv.com. And we will answer your questions. And I'll tell you what, I guarantee you an answer, even if we don't know it. Hell, we'll make it up. Okay. We're going to do one question for the day as we get through our show here. This question comes from a gentleman named Gene Fulgham. I believe he's from Florida. Oh, that's Pops. Okay. And Pops writes, "Dear Scott, after watching the show, seeing all the amazing shots of the arena and the high roller, this question is fresh on my mind. Do you find that sometimes needing to collect camera shots as you go about your adventures gets in the way of the outing? It's not always easy being that jackass with the camera. Boink. So do you find that fun sometimes turns into work? When having to think about gathering show content and Haddam bars and such while you're out having a good time. Again, thanks for the priceless education, Pops." I appreciate your question, Pops. Yeah, so here's the deal. Part of the reason why Melissa stopped wanting to do the show, part of it was because she was just busy. But there is no question that when she and I were doing the show, a lot of what we decided to do on the weekend was so I had content for the next Tuesday or Monday or whenever we were doing the show. So there is no question that, you know, my social calendar, especially back then, was somewhat dealt with because of what we were trying to do here, somewhat influenced by what I'm trying to do here. With regards to the photo taking, there is no question if you hang out with me and we are on the strip, I am always looking for a bar for Haddam. Always. That's not a big deal. I mean, if I walk by, like at the South Point, I walk by and I'm like, oh, I'll just take a picture of this island bar. Click, I've got one. It doesn't take much time. But yeah, so when you're looking at, when I'm, you know, doing the high roller, as you mentioned here, yeah, I took a lot of pictures. Would I have taken those pictures if I were just fucking around? Probably not. I really actually think taking a lot of pictures takes away from the enjoyment of whatever it is that you're trying to do. Like the Garth Brooks thing. I didn't take a ton of pictures. I took a ton inside the arena because I knew it'd be good for the show. Normally I wouldn't, but like for the concert, I didn't really take many videos or pictures of him. Because I wanted to just be in the show and just enjoy the show and see what this cat is able to do and not feel like, oh shit, I got to get this shot, you know, for the show. I took one video of We Got Friends in Low Place. I took that video for the show because that's the only fucking song I know, and I wanted to be able to go, yeah, that song, I know that song, and he played it, and that made me much much happier than I would have been otherwise. But yeah, so there's a little bit of having to think about that. But I've tried to actually cut that back so it's just more enjoyable. You don't need 50 shots to get a point across about, you know, a show. So there's a couple shows that I've done that I haven't reviewed yet. One's for Chris Phillips and one was for Frankie Moreno that has now been canceled. And I'll explain all that probably next week if I get my way. But I didn't take 50 shots. I just took, you know, three or four. That was a good shot. That's a good shot. That's a point of what I want to make. And yes, so absolutely it's in there, but it's not a huge problem. And the fact that Melissa has stopped doing the show means that we're still married. So life is good there, right? Okay. RQS, real quick stories. First of all, if you're in the live chat and you have not sent in your intro video, well, shame on you. I can make your whites whiter. I can make your brights brighter. But I can't keep you from going to hell if you don't play along, okay? So here's how you do it. If you're in the live chat, or even if you're just watching or listening, it's super easy. You take your phone. This is portrait. That's landscape. Just do it landscape, so it's the wide version. You're going to say something like, "Hey, I'm Dave Smith from Effingham, Illinois, and you're watching the Living in Las Vegas podcast on the Vegas Video Network." And then you can slide anything else in there after. It doesn't matter, because I love you, and I want to hear what you have to say. Remember, not portrait. You want to do it in landscape. All right. Live chat, don't let me down. All right, here we go. What else? Real quick story. So I was on vacation last week. Went to Cabo San Lucas. The last time we went to Cabo San Lucas was in September. Here's a tip from your Uncle Scott. Never go to Cabo in September, ever. I was thinking about moving to Florida to retire, and I stopped thinking that because I went to Cabo in September. We were there, this is like 4 years ago, sitting around in a pool that was like 125 degrees. We're like, man, it's humid out here. And there's three couples who are all from Florida. We're like, you think this is humid? This isn't humid. This is a walk in the park considering we're from Florida. I'm like, really? Guess what? Retirement Florida? Fuck it. We're not doing that. But so we go on down to Cabo, stay at a place called Casa Dorado. A couple tips from your buddy Scott. Here's the first. Flying first class is pretty fun. Now, here's why we did that. You know, we use our credit card, our, you know, Capital One card, to pay as much as we possibly can for most of our bills. So we acquired a shitload of miles on it. So we did first class going down and back from Cabo, which sounds like a big deal, but it's actually not that big a deal. It's 3 hours. It's less than 3 hours airtime from Las Vegas to Cabo. So it's about 45 minutes from here to Phoenix. It's about an hour, 45 minutes from Phoenix to Cabo. So it's pretty quick. But here's what we did, American Airlines, Ted. So here's what we did. Here's the fascinating thing about being in first class. So you get in there. The great thing about being in first class is, of course, looking down on the people who come in after you. But the very first thing that happens when you sit down is they offer you a drink before you take off, right? So I'm like, fuck yeah. I'm going to have me a drink. Now, my drink of choice when I fly is always a Bloody Mary. So we get in there. Now, we had a 6 o'clock flight. So I'm like, yeah, I'll have a Bloody Mary. Beam me up, bro. So we get our Bloody Mary, and we're drinking. Now, you got to drink that shit fast because you have to drink it and give it back to them before we taxi and take off. So I get my Bloody Mary. Bam! There's one. We get on the plane. We're flying. I'll have another drink. Bam! There's two. So I've had two drinks before 8. So we land in Phoenix. It takes about 45 minutes to get from plane to plane. We get on our flight to go to Cabo. You know, we're in first class. I'll have another drink. Bam, that's 3. It's a 2-hour flight going there. Bam, bam, 4, 5. I've had 5 drinks, and I just landed in Mexico. It's 11 o'clock in the morning. Here's another tip from your brother Scott. Pacing. So we get picked up by VIP travel. So it's, you know, basically it's a private, not, it's not a private car, it's a big, you know, SUV kind of thing. But we didn't want to be doing the super shuttle or any of that nonsense. So guy picks us up, and by the way, he spoke English, and when he said yes, he said yes, and I was so into it. I always asked him questions where he could say yes, just so I could hear him say, oh yes. It was so sweet and cute. So we get in there, and it's hot, and it's a little more humid. Would you like a water or cerveza? Agua, cerveza, cerveza, por favor. Bam, 6 drinks. Haven't even got to the, it's about a 45-minute ride. Well, sir, would you like another cerveza? See, boom, I had 7 drinks before I even got to the fucking hotel. Here's a tip. Don't do that. Because what do you do when you get to the hotel? Well, we get there. And by the way, the hotel was beautiful. I'll show you a couple of pictures. Here's a picture of the hotel. Casa Dorado. So we are right by the tip of Cabo. We are on the Gulfy side as opposed to the Pacific side. So you can swim in that water. A lot of boats out there. Very, very pretty. And I did the $20 technique, and we'll talk a little bit about that in a second. So that's our room, and that's Melissa and ourselves over at the Beacharoon deal. A couple things I'll tell you. First, we had a great time at this bar, whose name now escapes me. It's in the middle of Cabo, and this is a picture of the bar. See all the dollar signs all over the place? It's the smallest bar you'll see in all of Cabo. And you'll notice if you look real close, there's a Scott and Melissa dollar bill there, right? Now, the reason why I really like this bar is because the bartender there is a gal, and she didn't speak very, very good English. So two things that I thought were funny. First one, when we wanted to talk to each other, we use Google Translate to talk. So she had, a Samsung S7. It looked like it was a big old fucking phone or notepad or whatever. And we've got ours, and I'm typing something in, and I'm pointing, and she's typing. So it's kind of cute. But here's the best part. So she asked me how old I was. And I said, I'm 55. And she got freaked out. She goes, huh? I said, yeah, I'm 55. She goes, no. And she goes, I think you're this old. 41, folks. That is why we ended up putting a dollar bill on the wall. And that's why we drank probably two more beers that day, because God bless her for thinking that I was 41 years old. So that was the interesting stuff, the good stuff. I would also recommend, if you're down in Cabo, to go to a place on the beach called The Office. So where are you going? We're going to The Office. Probably one of my favorite bars, just hanging out there on the beach. This is the back side of it, but it's right on the beach. There's another place right next to it that's kind of bigger and louder and not as cool. This place was really, really cool. Great service, live music, good food, great view. Office is cool. So go there. Okay, here's a really weird thing that happened when we first checked in. Really weird. So we get there at 11:30, maybe 12 or so, or 12 o'clock, and they say, we're not ready, the room's not quite ready yet. You can hang out by the pool or whatever. And I did the $20 thing. I did the $20 technique. It's not a trick. It's a technique. Put the $20. A little gal takes the money, gives it right back to me. So nope. This is for you. Just for anything that you can possibly do, it'd be great, right? So she's doing her stuff and. I've got a great room for you. Sounds great. Okay. But it won't be ready till 3. Sounds great. We'll go by the pool, have a couple of drinks, and I'll be back at 12. So, or 3. So 3 o'clock comes by. I get back up there. She's not there. Some guy is there, and another gal is there, and it's a bit busier. It's check-in time for a lot of folks. So I'm like, okay, was told to come back. I think this gal told me to do it. Last name is Whitney. Ready to go. Oh, yeah, very good, Mr. Whitney. Here we go. How many cards would you like? Well, I'd like 2. Great. Now, here's what he did. Those little card deals, right? So he goes in, and he's got a machine. These kind of deals. He's got a machine that makes the cards, right? That scans the cards. So I'm watching him, and he's doing a shitload of these. So these people want 4 cards, and those guys want 5, and I want 2. So he's got the machine. He programs my room number. And he does shoot, shoot. Shoot. 3. I asked for 2, but he made 3. And so he handed me the 2 cards. And I watched him, and he put the 3rd card back in the pile with all the other blank cards. I'm like, nope. That's not going to work for me. I said, why did you do that? Do what, sir? Now, I'm not going to do the Spanish accent nonsense, but you gave me 2 cards, but you made 3 cards. Oh, would you like 3 cards? No, I told you I wanted 2 cards. and you put the third card there. Well, you don't need it. You don't have to have. You're not getting me there, amigo. You've got another card there that's got access to my fucking room. I have nothing to worry about. Get your boss. Get the manager, I said. I am the manager. Then get your boss, because we need to have a conversation. So off he goes. 5 minutes, he's gone. I'm like, what the fuck? You know, if this happened in Vegas, can you imagine somebody trying to pull that shit in Vegas? Manager comes out. Hola, como esta, blah, blah, blah. How you doing? I said, here, before we start off, here, I had my two cards in my little thing. I said, I want you to scan this card and tell me what number, what room number that is. So he scans my card. He goes, well, why is that? I said, I'm just curious. Could you just do that for me? Sure. Scans it. Oh, you're in room 222. Excellent. And could you check this one too? Yeah, room 222. Now, how about that one right there? Sitting right there. That's also room 622, not 222, which is a lovely TV show. 622, and that's a problem for me. Why is that? Why is that? Because now one of you people could have access to my room. Oh, we wouldn't do that. Well, fuck, of course you're not going to tell me you're going to do that. But that's a real problem for me. Well, we would never. Yeah, of course you're going to tell me that. But son of a bitch, that's a real secure. I'm from Vegas. If somebody pulled that. Oh, you're from Vegas. Yeah, we don't do those kind of things here. Well, we don't do them in Vegas either. If somebody did that here, they would be fired immediately. Well, you don't have to. And then he says this, and this was really interesting. He says, okay, well, oftentimes we create three cards for people because the power for the room sometimes shuts off, and you can put a card in this little slot right by the door, he's telling me, and that keeps the power on. So I guess if you leave for the day and the power goes off, maybe the AC goes off or some shit like that. I'm like, I don't care. I asked for two cards. You made three. That's a real problem. So I've got an issue with you. And he's like, well, you don't have to worry. There's not a problem. I promise you there's nothing wrong. I said, look, here's the other problem. You're fucking arguing with me on this. What you should say is, I understand what's going on. I can promise you this is not an issue. However, what's happening is blah, 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 blah. All right. Okay, I said, well, look, here's the deal. I'm going to talk about this on a show because this is dangerous. This can't happen. This is a security problem. Nobody from where I'm from thinks this is a good idea. But, okay, whatever. I don't need to talk about it anymore. Don't steal my shit. So I take off. So I walk over to the elevator, and he whoop, follows me. Actually, I walk to my bags first. I grab my bags, and he goes, we need to talk. I'm like, nah, I don't feel like we need to talk anymore. I think we're about done. Well, no, I need to explain. I said, well, I think you've done your job, so I'm going to grab my bags. If you want to follow me to my room, you can do that if you'd like. So we go back. He follows me to my room. Or to the elevator. He goes, I just want you to understand, nothing bad happened. This was not, well, hold on. It was bad. It may not be notorious or evil, but it was weird. Didn't like it. And by the way, I know that you're celebrating. I gave you an upgrade to the room. Like, wait a minute. I tipped somebody $20. I tipped somebody to get that upgrade. He goes, well, whether you tipped them or not, I don't know, but we gave you a suite. Because you're celebrating something. I'm like, okay. So in my head, I'm like, well, fuck. You know, the tip didn't even work. Okay, fine. Come to find out, we really did get a good room and ended up being a great hotel. It just was super, super weird. And I would be interested in getting your all feedback to that. Maybe I'm just being paranoid. But I didn't like it. All right. How are we doing on time? Doing okay. Live chat questions. First one. So go, be sure to keep an eye on it when you go to Casa de Saroba or whatever it's called. All right, first question is from Airport Limbo. He wants to know, what level are you on in Pokemon? Ah, here's the answer. Well, I'm in the adult level because I have pubes and I'm an adult and I've got shit to do. And are you kidding me? There is no fucking way I'm playing whatever this Pokemon Go thing is. So next question. Airport Limbo, by the way, are you playing that? Don't say anything. Keep it to yourself. For the love of God, stop playing that. Derek, 1968, wants to know, with parking fees and resort fees, do you think we are seeing the end of the affordable Vegas trip? And if the Fountain Blue sale to the Mohegan Sun goes through, can they make it a success? It's two questions. So, parking fees, resort fees. Well, resort fees have been around forever. I guess it depends on what your definition of an affordable Vegas trip is. The truth of the matter is, and this kind of helps MGM's story, so I'm not super happy about saying this, but you know, a lot of places at big cities are charging resort fees and big parking fees, $30 a day kind of parking. Oh, you want to do valet? $45 a day, like in California, Newport Beach, that kind of stuff, San Francisco. So, you know, the definition is what is affordable. I think pricing for hotels in Las Vegas, just the hotels, including resort fees, which are about $30 on this trip, is still pretty good, not terrible. Especially compared to, like, we've been going to Southern California a lot lately to take care of some family issues. I'm spending more at those hotels down there in the middle of like Fountain or not like, you know, Fullerton, than I would pay for, I don't know, Mirage. So, I think you can. I mean, if you're on a weekend, you're going to spend more for sure. And, you know, the parking fee thing hasn't happened to the Caesar properties yet. It will, I expect, in some time. But yeah, I think it can be done. I think you can still, you know, not spend too much. You know, it's a budgetary question. I don't know what your budget is, and I don't know how long you're going to be here. But I think for the most part, Vegas is still a pretty reasonably priced thing. I think they're going to uncool themselves to the point where it just pisses people off, and then people will go elsewhere just because they're pissed off. You know, they are now beginning to overpromise, underdeliver when it comes to time and on the strip. And that is the opposite of what you want to do in sales. We used to be able to say, man, you don't have to even think about what's going on. You just come on here, you're free parking, well, free valet, you're going to have a great time. Pool, food, drink, gambling, you're going to have a great time. And now they're beginning to nickel and dime. And then anybody who's got a brain in their head is going to start looking at the numbers and go, well, fuck it on. Wait a minute, this is adding up. It may not add up to more than what you would spend over at Newport Beach or whatever, but it's still adding up. And then you got to decide, okay, well, do I want to fuck with this or do I want to do this? And, you know, like right now is our slow season. It's 155,000 degrees outside. It's hot. You know, when it's like today, I think it was 110 or whatever it is. That's in the shade. Right? In the sun, it's 125 or hotter. The fucking asphalt's 150. You know, it's hot. And so right now pricing is not too bad. Plus, if you do something like Hotel Tonight, now you wouldn't do this on a long-term vacation, but Hotel Tonight, fuck, that's a great application. And you can get rooms for less than $100 on this trip without even breathing hard. Decent rooms. So I don't think it's going to get terrible yet. We just got to keep an eye on them. The truth is, you know, like everybody was saying, well, we're not going to go to MGM properties. We're all going to ban them. The fuck that. Nobody did that. Nobody that I know has done that. And maybe it's because I'm a local and I can park for free if it's not an event. Remember, I went to see Garth and I had to pay $20 to park. And I did because I was close and I wanted to do it. And, you know, what? I'm weak, whatever it is. So MGM is betting on that. I'm sure all the other properties who are considering it are betting on it as well. We'll see. It's just a matter of time, though, where I think people might go, you know what? Maybe we go to Orlando. You know, or maybe we go to Southern California. Maybe we go to San Diego. Maybe, you know, it depends on, you know, and that's going to become more and more prominent as I think about it, as gaming becomes less and less of a revenue generator. It's always a huge revenue, but for some properties, it's becoming less and less important. Cosmo was well known for, you know, their top line item wasn't gambling, and they got the shit beat out of them as a result of that. But you're seeing more and more properties. You know, Steve Wynn isn't going to build a fucking lakeside resort because gambling is kicking ass. He's going to build it because he's got to figure out another way to create revenue to pay for all the other shit he needs to pay for. Oh, by the way, I got to say one thing real fast about a valet parker. So I was with Jackie and Melissa, and we were parking, and we used Jackie's, you know, Super Diamond parking, so we didn't have to pay. We tipped, and I asked the valet guy, so how's business now? He's like, it is shit, which is exactly what I predicted. The bottom has completely dropped out for valet guys. Remember, you know, you're probably thinking, well, they're only making $3 when somebody takes their car, $3 or $5 or whatever. A lot of people pay $10, $20 when they first get there so they can get parking. I used to do $10 all the time on a Friday night or a Saturday night when the only people allowed to park were people who were staying there. Oh, sir, we're only taking for we're only taking people who are staying there. $10 handshake. Hey, I'm a local just trying to support the business. I'll find you a spot right there on the front. Worked every single time. Never not worked. That business is gone for those people. So I don't know what the percentage loss is, but I think it's got to be huge for valet folks. Okay, moving on. About the Mohegan Sun. You know, I don't really know anything about the Indian gaming world. I've been reading some books, fictional books, that talk a little bit about, you know, that in some small content. And it sounds like they have some protections that otherwise aren't afforded to regular casinos, to non-Indian-based casinos. So the challenge would be if they think it's not going to be an Indian property, it's not an Indian land, so they have to behave like other properties, I would assume. And so that may be a little different for them. On the other hand, I'm assuming that they come from a lower price point mentality than many of the properties on the Strip. And they would be, you know, right by, well, not right by Encore and Wynn, SLS. So, I don't know. I hope they do. That thing has been sitting around there for a couple, 3 years now. It's just a $650 million piece of shit. So, you know, I don't think they'll pay $650 for it, but, or maybe they will now. I don't know. But I would love to see somebody do it. All right. Mono Exide at Work says, I'm a tattoo collector, which is creepy, right? It puts the lotion on and then back in the bucket. Do you have any recommendations for shops in Las Vegas or surrounding area? You know what? I'm one of those unusual guys who don't have any tattoos. There used to be a good tattoo place, actually, at Mirage. We had a couple friends get tattoos. It was a great property, and it closed down. Huntington was at, I think it's at Hard Rock. It's got a good reputation. The truth is, if you want to know, you should look up a guy named Al Mancini, who's a food critic here, shaved head, big, tall, mohawk. He's tatted all over the place. He's the type. I'll tell you what most people who get tattoos say. It's not the properties on the Strip. It's not the tattoo parlors on the Strip that you should go. You want to go to the ones off Strip. Pops, all best all-around beer bar, not on the Strip. I'd go to Ellis Island. You can't beat Ellis Island. The beer is cheap. The beer is good. They've got cement floor, so if there's a murder, it's cleaned up quite easily. If you think you're a singer, they've got probably one of the top three in karaoke bars in all of Las Vegas. And it is a great place to try to figure out, is that a hooker or is that a hooker? So for sure, if you want to have a beer, go to Ellis Island. Pops also wants to know, is there a property that I really hate? I like the way he feels about South Point. Hate? I was really disappointed in SLS. Really disappointed in SLS. You know, it took what was an iconic property, Sahara, and I'm not one of those guys who, you know, cries and bitches and moans because that property went away. It went away because nobody went there. It's the same thing with any of these Frontier, Riviera. If you guys loved it so much, you should have fucking gone there when they were open. So that's I don't have any emotional connection to those things. If I had gone there more, maybe they'd stayed open. But it nonetheless, Sahara was an iconic place, and the vibe around SLS was supposed to be pretty cool. You know, it's a guy who's, you know, he's into the club scene, he's got a lot of money, blah, 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 blah. And so I have been there once and twice. The first time, I was just unbelievably underwhelmed by it. It didn't feel finished. And it was, you know, the ceilings. They were like the ceilings in our first studio, where you could see all the ductwork, and we spray painted it all black because it's cool. It's cool for a studio. It's not fucking cool for a casino, but that's what they had. I'm like, I don't get this. They have a cool indoor bar, a big light show thing over their center bar. That's pretty cool. But overall, man, I just didn't get it. It just didn't feel right. So I don't know that I hate. Hate's probably a little hard, but I haven't gone there since then. It's just I've just never felt like it was a place for me to go. So, you know, why bother? Why spend my money? And they actually had some good food there. I heard the Bazaar Meat, I think it's called, is supposed to be good. The hamburger place was good, but it closed down. So I think it's one of those places that haven't figured out what the hell to do with themselves. They have been giving stuff away. You know, we're seeing local deals start to show up a lot now. And I think they're in deep shit, quite frankly. Well, they sold a tower to the W Hotel chain, as I recall. That's usually an indication of trouble. So, yeah, that's probably not good. Anything else that I hate? Hate? No. No, not really. I'm pretty much a lover. I want everybody to do well, right? We all want people to do well. So go to SL. All right. It's time for Have a Drink on Me. It's part of the show where I show you a picture of a bar or a pub or a lounge, and you can win special magical prizes if you guess the right answer and you're selected from a hat. Yes, Scott, you're a tickety-tickety-talk-talk. You hate SLS. Nobody can trust you. You don't have to listen to me. You can win stuff. No bullshit. Ask Pop.
Let me tell you what you can win this week.
This week's Lucky Haddam winner can choose any one of three amazing Scott Whitney guitar CDs, Crisp Acoustic 1, Crisp Acoustic 2, or Gajazzathon. Proudly displayed here by Bob, undisputed king of the video Haddam entry. Or you can choose the comfortable and stylish Vegas Video Network visor like these lucky winners. Available in the standard black and sometimes in the rare, hard-to-find red, popular with the ladies and the Russians. Or you can choose the premium prize package. The next time you're going to be in Vegas, you can arrange an evening of sophistication and class with the man himself, the guru of all things Vegas, Scott Whitney. Well, okay, at least drinks, laughs, and some priceless conversation.
Send your entry into Have a Drink at VegasVideoNetwork.com. VegasVideoNetwork.com.
All right, thank you, Pops. Because we're America and we want people to have as many opportunities as possible to win stuff, we have provided several ways to win, or to at least increase the probability of win. Here's how. First, if you get a correct answer, you're in the hat. That's one chance. If you're the very first correct answer that we receive, that's the second opportunity. If you're in the live chat and you have a correct answer, we'll give you another opportunity. If you send us a video or a photo of one of the Gajazzathon CDs, or hell, pretty much any CD, in the wild, like for instance, there is the CD next to a pregnant person who became pregnant because of my music, and there's the Gajazzathon CD in Russia. Well, then we'll give you another opportunity to get yourself in the hat so that you might get picked. All right. Anything else, Scott? Yes, yes, there's more to this than that. There's the greatness aspect. What do you mean, Scott? Well, you may notice that some people, and I think Pops mentioned it, he has this little thing here, the Vegas Video Network visor. There are thousands of these out there. Hundreds. And if you wear them, you'll find yourself feeling particularly good. Which is nice. You want to feel good. But if you wear them and you send a picture of yourself, then the magic happens. You become part of the galaxy of God. There's Michael and Scott and Vicky and Bud. There's Alan and Aaron. And there they are at a nudist colony. They got fur place, way to go. There's Bob and his wife. There's Danny and Shan, not Jan. And there is Craig. There's Glenn who wants to fly. There's Jimmy, there's Rob who can do 22 push-ups. And then there's Ken in Hawaii.
who's listening to Spanish music, and there's Stewart, who's doing more airtime on this show than me, and there's Christina, whose babies are because of me, and Don, and Jackie, and Mike,
look out!
And Bob's, and Sammy, and there is Carol, wait, there's more, there's a dog, and there is Brett's dad, your buddy Scott, and Wayne, and let us not forget the person who this person made, there is Brett as well.
Okay. We had 27 out of 28 correct answers for this last Have a Drink on Me. And here's what that bar looked like. There it is. And the clues were the Heart Bar in Planet Hollywood, the Heart Bar in Planet Hollywood, the Heart Bar in Planet Hollywood. Okay, let's go through it. Are we ready? We are ready. All right, our number one is our very first one. Correct answer, it's Eric Hansen. He's also known as Airport Limbo, so he gets one for the correct answer. He gets one for being the first in there. And he gets one more. What? The greed is unbelievable. Because he's in the live chat. Eric Hansen. Way to go, Eric. Thanks for playing along, my brother. He was in there quick, too. Boy, he had that answer in there. It's a big cow. Right, my cue. One for the correct answer. One for being in the live chatterooski. And so I'll have good thoughts for Mike. Mike's trying to get a job in Las Vegas. Why? I don't know. I'm kidding, because it's a great place. Let's all hope positive thoughts for our brother Mike. Monica Fagan. Thank you, Monica. And Michael Snowman, also known as Chicago Snowman. Boink. And we've got Andrew Z from Winnipeg. We are an international show. They're everywhere. We cannot be stopped. We've got Brent Barnes from beautiful Paradise, California. Isn't California all paradise? No, because of their taxes and their fucked up governor. Never mind. Glenn Santa. Glenn Santa is a, what kind of a stud? He's hanging out. There's a one for the correct answer. He was in the live chat. Oh, but he had to go to the bathroom. And so Glenn's no longer in the live chat. I'm sorry, Glenn. No double for you. Gary Romberg, Mr. Testy. Way to go, Gary. Jim Gallagher, also known as Jimmy Two G's. One for the correct answer, and one for being in the live chat. You want to see what Jimmy looks like? Where'd he go? There he is. It's Jimmy. Jimmy's already got one of the vibes. He's already a part of the galaxy of the gods, or the gallery. He wants to help his other people become gallery galaxy people, too. Andy from New Hampshire. He gets himself one in there. He's also got Rob C., also known as Rob068 Pittsburgh. One for the correct answer. Oh, did I get your other one in here, Jimmy? Sorry, that's your other one. And Rob gets another one as well, Rob068. Way to go, Robbie. Thank you for playing. Rob likes long walks on the beach and cold toilet seats. Aaron Perry, who's a talented person who does all of our three-dimensional cards. Thank you, Aaron, from Arizona. Tammy Mossberger. Thank you, Tammy. Penny Gregory from Plymouth, North Carolina, a previous winner. A couple winners, I believe, old Penny's done. Way to go, Penny. Kevin Whip from Connecticut or Canada. Mike Gerzewski, who makes it very difficult for me to say his name. And one for that. And we've got Ken Anderson. We know Kenny's in there. Ken is the man. Ken is a good gentleman who went to Hawaii and brought my CD with him, which means, of course, he's going to heaven. One for the correct answer, one for being in the live chat. Gregor Tapper. Gregor is in there. Gregor. Tapper, which is a small plate. So Greg Small Plate, we call him. Take this away from him. Chet Shotness. And I think Chet was in there. Let me see. Chet, there he is. Chet. Chet's our, as I recall, our trombone player. One for the correct answer. One for the live chat. And Bob McAdams. I think I saw Bob in there for a while, but I think he may have had to bail. I don't see him now. Boink. There you go. All right, let's continue. Next up, we've got Mike Beattie, who writes, I missed the show. Hope you had an enjoyable week off. I did after busting a manager. Craig Daughtry, also known as the La Vegas Dog. 22, there he is. Craig Daughtry. Went for the correct answer. He writes, by the way, I can't even write what I wrote. Hope you had a great week off. You're the best ever. That's not what he wrote. Steve I, the wise guy, went for the correct answer. 1-4 being in the live chat. Way to go, Stevie. Stevie is one of the longest live chat folks we've had. I really appreciate that, Steve. Thanks, my brother. And we've got Barb Shotness, Barb, who also is in the live chat. By the way, you married folks out there, the Shotteners, which is their new nickname, are smart. They have created four possibilities because they are both in the live chat and they both have correct answers. Now they've won twice already, so God bless them. Okay, keep going. Next up, Michael B. Michael wrote War and Peace. Michael writes, one for him. Okay, dear Scott, this week's Haddam is the Heart Bar at Planet Hollywood. Just to throw out some thoughts on Garth Brooks. First, don't let it escape you that before music took off for him, Garth got his degree from Oklahoma State in advertising, which means he knows how to advertise cows. The first album is a masterclass in hitting all the subjects of classic country music, and he is personally at the table when this tour is booked. The ticket price are by contract. We thought that might be. Set below market value. My city, it was below $61, no matter where in the building, and the ticket was printed at the door. As the credit card that the order was made from is validated. Huh, that's interesting. The t-shirts were as low as $20 19 years ago, the last time he played there. That only multiplied the amount of merch sold. I bet that's true. Garth also is legendary for being extraordinarily nice to the local workers at the venues, especially remember names of common folks that most artists never notice. Garth does a strong show. He sure as hell does. And I will be there next time, even if it's in 19 years. Michael B. Thank you, Michael. Yeah, I told you before, Garth, I'm not a big country western guy. Shocking. But that was a good show. And then finally, Alan Perry for our write-ins, one for the correct answer. Alan writes, hey guys, the Haddam Bar this week is a hard bar at Planet Hollywood. We are very familiar with this bar. It is in a very convenient meetup spot when planning the evening's activities with friends. We have been there many times. Scott, I hope you had a great week away from the podcast. We missed you. Thank you, Alan. Thanks for the great podcast. I guess it goes to show us how much we enjoy our weekly time together. Alan Perry at Prescott, Arizona. Thanks, Alan. That's very, very nice of you. And then finally, you love him. You got a restraining order on him. Let's talk to Pops.
Hey, kids. Some of you may remember the first launch of the Vegas Video Network Rocket. It was a daytime launch. It was massively successful. So we're going to try a night launch. We've got her loaded up here with an Estes B64 rocket engine, normally lit with electronic igniters from a safe distance, but I'm not a pussy. I'm going to light it with a cigarette lighter.
You are what you eat.
I do believe in safety, so protect the eyes with the 3D glasses. We're going to take Gajazzathon out of the blast range. We're going to put it under my butt. Nope. That way, if I don't get my butt blown up, nothing bad will happen to Gajazzathon. And, of course, we're going to take these nuts and protect
these nuts!
Here we go, kids. Holy shit. Kids, I better go before the cops get here. See ya.
Ladies and gentlemen, Pops. One for the correct answer, one for live chat, one for the video. Attaboy, brother. Okay, let's take a look. Let's see who wins. What was the over-under? What did I say? 70... I was wrong. 69. I was wrong. Whoops. This last one. Okay. There we go. Oh, what the fuck is going on here? Here we go. The winner is... This is somebody who got multiple entries because they were the first person in. And in the live chat, again, the winner, we have Eric Hansen, Airport Limbo. Congratulations, Eric. I'll send you an email, ask you whether you'd like yourself one of these here visors, one of them their music things, or a drink on your buddy Scott. Okay, let's look at this week's Have a Drink on Me. Here we go. Three hints. Hint number one. They have a Drunk of the Month section on their website. They have a Drunk of the Month section on their website. Hint number two. You know, the place could be named after one of the original Rat Packers, the guy with the drinking vibe, although he didn't really drink much. Could be named after one of the original Rat Packers, the guy with the drinking vibe, but actually, he didn't drink much. Or, hint number three, he could be a Flintstone pet. This place could be named after a Flintstone pet. If you know the name of this here bar, it's actually kind of a dive bar. You're going to send it to haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. Again, haveadrink@vegasvideonetwork.com. There you go. Thank you, everybody. Hey, if you want to get your questions answered, that's easy to do. You're going to send it to onairq@livinginlv.com. Again, onairq@livinginlv.com. Let's say you want to leave us a voicemail. We would love for you to do that. All you do is you go to our homepage, Vegas Video Network site. You click on the little red tab on the right side. That's going to pop up a box. You're going to click Start Recording. And because you have a microphone attached to your computer, you'll be able to do that. Hey, we're all over the place. We're on the iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review, won't you? We're on the YouTube. Give us a thumbs up and share us with your friends. Plus, you'll find us on Roku. We've got over 32,000 people who've installed our channel on their Roku deal. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn, Chromecast, Apple, Google, and Fire TV. We're on Google Play and, of course, the VegasVideoNetwork.com website. Thank you guys very much for hanging out, for watching us. Thank you, everybody in the live chat. You guys are the bestest in the whole damn world. And don't forget it. I would give you awards even if you came in sixth place. We'll see you guys next week here on the Living in Las Vegas podcast. Take it easy, everybody. Ticket.